Listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior."
Good morning. What's up? What's up, guys? How are you guys doing? Good. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Hey, glad you guys are in the room. So glad you're here. Also, Metro, what's going on? Let's make some noise for Metro right here. Love you guys. You know what I love about Metro? They're a bunch of misfits. Yes, that's what you are. You're pioneers. You're making a new thing, making it happen. I love the fact that you're in Plaza Midwood and just reaching people there. So it's so great, so wonderful that you guys are pioneers. These guys might be settlers. I don't know. Settlers, pioneers. But anyways, you guys are risk takers. Love, love, love the fact you're doing that. And online crowd, the online crowd. I'll tell you what, they're the most committed. See, you would think they're not committed because maybe they're not physically here. I think it's more of a commitment to actually watch me on vacation. Like, this is ridiculous, right? And join and have church regardless where you are. So thanks for being a part of that. And man, I love the fact, love the energy in this space. Don't you just love it? I love Sunday mornings walking in. It's just full of hope. And I want to say just thank you so much for that. In fact, I was reminded even this week that we are starting Camp Create. It's a creative camp in the summer that we've been doing for several years now. And we just provide creative opportunities for kids. And we've had like 40 to 50 kids. But this year, we're actually partnering with Winding Springs Elementary. And I don't know if you guys know this, but you're actually helping do an event, sponsor kids, about 50 of them to join us. We're going to actually be doing it at the school, partner with the school in the summer, providing kids with creative opportunities that are under-resourced. Isn't that awesome? So thank you for doing that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you knew that, but we are using your money, people. We're using your money, and so thank you for not just talking about hope, but actually funding hope. It's a big, big difference. And those of you who've been thinking of giving, you need to give, because we have a lot of hope that we've got to provide spaces for, and it takes money to do it. I wish it was free, but salvation is free, but everything else costs. All right, write that down. All right. Hey, we are in a series of conversation that it's been really interesting. The idea is called Voices. What are we listening to? And so, during these past few weeks, we've been really having a lot of interesting conversations. I think last week was one of my favorite ones. It was this idea of like, what's really loud right now in your life, and what do you need to just quiet down in your life? And so, if you missed that, you can watch all of those on our app, on our website, and all that good stuff. But this week, and today, I want to talk about this idea. It's a big idea, which again, if you've been tracking with us, you know that every week I've been giving you a little title, right? Last week was, what was the last title? What was it? Right. What was it again? The Whisper in the Wind, people. I forgot it because it was a whisper. Oh, anyways, no. But this morning, though, I want to talk about the voice on the waves. What's the voice on the waves? What does that look like to you? The other day, I walked into my daughter's room. It was bedtime, so I was like tucking her in. We have a thing, and so I come in, but I find her. This is so hilarious. I wish you could be there in the moment. She's lying down. She's a very serene, and she's got a sound machine. Like from her app, right? Sound machine, so sleeping time. She's got headphones on and something on her eyes. She's like in a total zen moment, like, oh, I think they were cucumbers. I'm not quite sure, but probably not. But I didn't want to interrupt her. I was like, what's going on? She was like, so I just, all I did was just give her a kiss and then good night. She was like, good night. She's already there. I was like, this is interesting, isn't it? Like, how many of you, by the way, sleep with a sound machine? Anybody sleep with a sound machine? Metro? Anybody? Yeah, you do. I discovered this because I was having trouble sleeping at night, and I realized that when I'm traveling, and I travel, you know, a decent amount, when I get into a plane, and I sit on the seat, and it's in the air, I fall asleep. I could be in mini-conversation. I'm like, yes, yes. I'm done. I'm gone. It's the cabin sound of a plane. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anyways, I discovered that on my app, on my phone. Guess who sleeps with that? I was like, this is awesome. Then I started discovering there's actually other sounds that create a mood for you, that create a presence for you. And so I started thinking, what do I want to sleep to? You know, I tried a lot of different things. And then I found Sandstorm. That's what it sounds like, a sandstorm. So peaceful. I know, it's a Middle Eastern thing. It's a Middle Eastern thing. If you grew up in Kuwait, you'll love this. But that's awesome. I tried the waterfall. I was like, I gotta go pee. I gotta go. What am I? I can't do this. I actually tried waves. Have you heard waves crashing on the shore? I think I love the idea of it, but I can't sleep to it. Cannot sleep to it at all. Let me ask you something. I think in our lives, like, there are certain things that just keep us or bring peace to us. They just set us in a mood. They set us, they just create a moment for us. And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you need total silence. Maybe you need sandstorm. It's an option. Maybe you need something else. I'm not quite sure. But I know that there's power to what you listen to. And that's pretty much the big idea for this series. It's really trying to control what we expose ourselves to and the environments we create ourselves and put around us. I mean, that's the reality of it. Sometimes we fall into this, to some really, really some, I would say, technical things on, okay, how do you hear from God? What do we need to do? You need to pray this, you need to memorize this, you need to do that. And this series is really about creating an environment that you can actually hear God speak. Because the truth is, God speaks in so many different ways. And for us to know, like, how he speaks is, like, ridiculous. Can you say ridiculous? Ridiculous. Metro, say it out loud. Ridiculous. It is. Because I'll tell you what God refuses to do. He refuses to limit himself and to shrink to our comprehension. He refuses to. And so if anybody's ever figured it out, I love this idea of, like, people write down a systematic, you know, way of this is how, you know, God moves and this is how God speaks and this is what everything means. I'm like, you're hilarious. Because it's not gonna, he would cease to be the creator of this universe. He would cease to be God. And so when we talk about hearing from him, I think you have to kind of lean into the voice on the waves. So here's what I want to do. I want to take you to three passages. Two of them include waves, okay? One does not. All right, so let's jump into it. If you got your Bibles, grab those. I'm going to go to my first passage, and we'll put it on the screens for you as well. And this passage is found in the New Testament. New Testament in Mark. Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to give you, just so you can, like, kind of, you know, hold on to some big ideas, I want to give you a couple of points, okay? So number one is this big idea of he controls the voice on the waves, controls the waves. Okay, let me explain this. I think for some of us, if you think about it, what you're going through right now is kind of a storm. The big and small things that keep on coming up, the issues that keep on coming up, are kind of like the waves. Like, I don't know if what your storm is. Like, for some of you, it might be a storm of, honestly, just anxiety. A storm, and it's connected to a sickness. It's connected to where you are in life. It's just a storm of anxiety. And the problem with that is, it's like every day there's a new wave. Have you ever realized that? It's a new thing. It's like, not this. Can this just work out? Oh, not an issue with this. For some of us, it's like a storm of despair. You don't know why you're just, you know, it's like, people call it the summer blues. I don't know if that's a thing or a song. I'm not sure. But I think when it comes to despair, it's real. It's real, and you don't even know why. And again, this big and small issues that come with that, the conversations, that didn't work out, that happened, oh my gosh, I got to pay extra for this. It's just the waves that keep hitting you in the midst of a storm because things kind of come like they tend to come like waves, don't they? They just keep on pounding you. Then you got all kinds of storms that are connected to either sickness or career or relationships. And sometimes I think it's a storm of uncertainty. Have you ever been there? Like you're just uncertain. Like if I were to ask you, are you in a storm? You're like, yeah, but I don't know what it is. Like, I don't think it's a sandstorm. Never been there. I don't think it's like a, you know, tornado. I don't know what kind of storm it is. I just don't know anymore. Have you ever been there? I just don't know anymore. Right now, I just don't. Everything is uncertain to me. What do you do? And where is God in the midst of that? So I want you to know that God is the voice on the waves, and he controls the waves. So let's go look at the passage. Mark 4, verse 35. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat, okay? They took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Soon, a fierce storm came up. High what? Waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. I love this passage. Jesus was what? He was sleeping. Apparently, waves is his sound machine. That's his thing. That's his thing. Oh, my gosh, I love this. It's a storm. We're about to die. Love it. It's awesome. I'm not in this existence anyway. It's all good. Okay, so Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his, this is hilarious. Mark writes this, with his head on a cushion, he had his favorite pillow, guys. Like, why would you put that in here? Anyways, and then it says, the disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, in that language would be rabbi, right? Don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, this is awesome. He rebuked the wind. Like have you ever woken up just mad? Anybody? Like annoyed. Why did you wake me? Anybody? Have you ever done that? Why did you wake me? I think we're getting broken into. But why did you break me? You think I can do anything? Really? Just pray to Jesus. Like, why did you wake me? I don't know if Jesus is ticked, but he rebukes the wind and then he talks to the waves. Wind, stop it. Waves, let's have a conversation. What do you think that you're doing? What are you doing? And then he says, silence, be still. I love that. Again, this idea of noise, sound, silence, like shh, shut it. Suddenly, the wind stopped. It's like as if they got caught. And then there was a great calm. Then he said to them, why are you afraid? This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the what? Wind and the obey him. A couple of things here. When we're in a storm, you always feel like Jesus, God, the universe, wherever you think you are right now in your faith, you think the guy upstairs is what? Sleeping. He's not paying attention. Something's happening, and obviously God is saying, I'm out. Later. See you later. He seems very, very distant, unaware. Have you ever been there? Like, just unaware. He's like, God, have you ever said this? Are you even here? Have you ever thought this? Are you even listening? So, God seems nowhere in a storm. Next, we always doubt his concern for us. It starts with this idea of like, are you there? And then you go, I knew it, you don't love me. Like something inside of us says, obviously, I'm not his favorite. Obviously, I'm not hashtag blessed. Hashtag highly favored. What's going on? I'm not, right? And then Obviously, Jesus has the power to control the winds and the waves. He tells them to be silent. But then he asks this question, why are you afraid? Now, we would think, of course, because why? There's a storm and they're about to die, right? But let's think about this. What are they? The disciples, most of them, were what? Fishermen. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think they can swim. If your career is based around fishing, you're Michael Phelps. I mean, you know how to swim. It's like it goes from like all of a sudden they're panicked. They're in high seas. No, they're on a lake. They're on a lake, friends. I mean, it's a big lake, but they're on a lake. They go from, oh my gosh, we're gonna drown, and Jesus is like, did you forget to swim? Do you know how to doggy paddle? What are you miss? What is wrong? What's going on here? Why did you wake me? Isn't it interesting that some of our storms in our life actually, I mean, this is crazy, but could it be like the storms that mess us up actually put Jesus to sleep? What? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. He's like, and he's saying, wake me up when there's a real one. Have you noticed, though, when we pray, like when in the middle of a storm, like I do this, I always pray to know the future. Like I know, like for example, if I'm in a storm, if something's going on, and if I have a bad diagnosis or something's wrong, I just want to know, is this going to get better, right? Is it going to get better? Is something going to change in my life? What's the plan? Like all I want to know is, that's fine. I'm going through some rough times. Marriage is not happening right now. I get it. It's just complicated. It's complicated. I get it. I just need to know the plan, right? Because if you know the plan, if you know the future, you can keep going. That's natural. I'll tell you why it's natural. Because the guy who you would think had the most FaceTime with not an Apple term, FaceTime with God would be Moses. I mean, Moses talked to God like face-to-face, they kind of say. I mean, like he had a major communication. He knew God's voice and all that jazz, right? So let me read you a passage about how he wants to know. He hits a point when it's a storm of anxiety in his life, and he doesn't know what he's doing. If you don't know who Moses is the guy who takes a road trip with a million people, right? Never do that. Don't do that. And he's obviously stressed out just a little bit. It's a little annoying. Are we there yet? No, I'm going to kill you. And if you know me, I actually do kill people. Anyway, so that's Moses' joke. But so he's annoyed. So this is focus. This is Exodus 33. Moses is having a conversation with God, and this is the paraphrased version of it. I think it shows the heart of it. So it starts off like this. Okay, verse 12 says, "You tell me, I know you well, and you are special to me." Like, I love this. He's talking to God. He's like, you say that you know me well, and I'm so special to you. If I'm so special to you, have you ever prayed this? This is so good. Let me in on what? On your plans. This is Moses. Let me in on your plans. That way, I will continue what? Being special to you. This is so good, right? This is exactly how I pray. You know what? If you love me, if you're for me, do me a favor. Where are we going? What are we doing here? Just give me some information. Just give me something. Because I'll tell you what I will feel. So good inside. Hug me, God. Tell me your plans. You know, like I just want to know. How many of you would feel so special if God just told you what was on the other side of this storm? Anybody? Of course you'd feel special. Then God has this conversation. This is a long conversation. I just have certain sections for you. So it goes on. Then God says, put yourself on this rock. Okay, so location matters. We talked about that in past weeks. And then it says, when my glory, this is God talking, when my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. okay, what's going on here? You're going to cover me, okay, but you told me to stand here, okay. Then he says this, then I'll take my hand away and you'll see what? My back, but you won't see my face. This is such a powerful thought. Guy goes, hey, lady goes, I just want to know what you do. Just please, look at me in the eye and tell me it's going to be okay. Just tell me, where are we going? Where are we going? And God says, first of all, my glory, my presence is going to go with you. So you're going to feel me. You're going to feel me in your life. You're going to feel me. I'm in your life. I'm actually in the boat. With the storm, I'm actually in the boat. Like you thought I was not in the boat, like I jumped ship when the storm came, I'm actually in the boat of your storm. I'm in your life. I'm with you. My glory, my presence will be with you. But here's the thing. I can't show you everything of who I am. I can't show you where I'm going. I can't show you my face. I'm actually going to cover. So it's because there is a reason you don't know the things you don't know. Like you need to be certain about this. One thing you need to be certain about is that you don't know a lot of things and you will never know. And then he says this, and here's the big thing. Here's the big idea. You will never be able to see my face. The only thing you'll see is my back, which means what? Hello? What's going on? He's basically saying you will never know where I'm going, but you'll always be able to see where I have been. If you believe that, if you look at that, you know where I've been. You know what I've done in the past. You've seen my back. You've seen where I've been. Can you just go back a little bit? Just go back just a little bit and look at what I did last time. Remember what I did here. Remember what I did here. And that will give you the power to go through the storm. But you're looking and praying for the plan, and that's not going to happen. You're not going to know the plan. I actually have to cover you because you couldn't handle the plan. You couldn't handle all the information. You just couldn't. You can't. You're not made like me. Your mind will blow. The best you can do is know where I've been. And based on where I have been and what I have done and my character, my back, you will have the power to go forward. You see, that's what the voice on the waves calls us. It calls us to understand that when we're in the midst of a storm, when we're in the midst of everything, we forget that Jesus is not here. Maybe he jumped ship. He doesn't care. I don't know what's going on. But he's saying, Number one, I'm here. I'm with you. My presence will be with you. You know this. Like you are so uncertain about certain things. And you walked into Metro. You're so uncertain. But you know you're here. You are watching. You are listening. You are there. Why? Because there's something inside of you that draws you to him. And there is a glory, there's a presence, and it goes before you. You know that you are special. You know that. Do you feel it? All the time? No. But you know because of where he's been. You know this. And so because of that, God actually wants us to do something in the midst of a storm. He wants us to do something in the midst of the storm. So number one, he controls the waves, right? He controls the waves. Let's go to our third passage here. And the second point. Second point is he leads us into the storm. See, I need you to know this. He leads us into the storm. So first, he controls the waves. All the big and the small issues, he controls them. But then he leads us into a storm. Okay? What does that look like? What does that mean? What does that mean? So let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, it says, immediately after this, they were doing something, and then he just changes direction here. Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent people home. Whose idea was to get on the boat and go on the lake? Anybody? Jesus' idea. After sending them home, he says, you go on the boat. He went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, so Jesus is now alone by himself praying, doing his Jesus thing. Where does he send the disciples? On a boat, on a lake. Hey, go ahead. I'll catch up. I'll Uber there. It's all good. Okay, so what does he do? Meanwhile, the disciples were in what? Trouble, far away from land. A strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy, what? Waves. Whose idea was to get on the boat? You know, in Christianity, at least if you grew up as a Christian, the big idea sometimes, or the focus of prayer for us, is really about safety. It's really about, God, just keep me safe. Keep me safe. I mean, I didn't grow up with Christianity, so I'm not really, you know how we got this. But I remember learning to become a Christian, because I grew up Muslim, and so people would, number one, pray over the food. Say grace over the food. That's a new thing for me. Well, that was. The other was the whole praying for safety. I think that's a term. I don't know what it is. Safe travels. But maybe it was a collegiate, college, youth groupy thing. I don't know, quite sure. But we'll get into a car, and then people would pray for safe travels. And there was a lot of prayer for just keep us safe from the world, from the traffic, from bad food, from I don't know what. There's a lot of that. A lot of that. So let's just grow up a little bit. Okay? So God actually leads you into storms. I am so sorry. But I just stepped on your childlike faith. But the good thing is I didn't do it by mistake. So that's good. But that's nonsense. God always leads us into storm. You think God wants you not to face your fears? You are out of your mind. If he knows you're afraid of something and is controlling you, guess what? He's going to go, and here's an opportunity. Do you know why? Because he wants you to live fully alive. He wants you to live the life that he created you to live and the life that he died for you to have. And so he's not going to let any fear or any weirdness come in the way. So if there is a weakness, he knows that when you face it, the moment you face your deepest and weakness is the moment you're the strongest. And so, yes, he will. He's like, there's a storm. That's a good one. Let's do that. Let's do that. That's why Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, right? His teachings are a little different from the disciples, because the disciples honestly are like, safety, safety. But Paul is like, let's do whatever. Let's go here. Let's do that. Let's die. He's going crazy. He says this. He says, God's strength is actually made perfect in what? In your weakness. So yes, if you're going through a storm, maybe it was your own consequences. Maybe it was just tragic. But I will tell you, God's saying, yes, let's go through this. It's not like, hey, I need you, you know, I won't give you mountains to climb. No, I will give you mountains to climb. I need you to do this. I need you to face your deepest fears and your inadequacies. I need you to face those. And so, yes, he takes us into the storm. So number one, you need to know, God totally takes us into storms. He does it, and he does it for a reason. But check this out. What happened next? So now they're afraid. And then it says about 3:00 in the morning. I don't know. Jesus took his time. It's like it's 3:00. Sounds good. Okay. Jesus came down towards them, walking on the water. Bro, really? If I could do that, I like all kinds of storms. You know what I'm saying? I mean, one of my deepest fears is to be like stranded in open seas. Anybody? Oh my gosh, that's scary. Oh my gosh, that'd be scary. But if I could walk on water, that'd be great. So he walks on water. I wonder if it's like to show something. Hey, so I really control the waves. And then he walks up. When his disciples saw him walking on the water, they were what? They were terrified. This is awesome. They're always so scared. Why? Because they thought he was what? See, that's beauty. That's so true in storms. When the storm of uncertainty and despair and anxiety and fear hits you, you have no idea what God looks like. He could be walking right up to you. All you are, you're still terrified. And then they go, it's a ghost. And so Jesus spoke out to them. He says, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. So first of all, it's a storm. It's loud, right? Can we agree it's loud? It's super loud. So let's figure this out. How far away was he? I just want to know this. Like, how far away was he? Like, he's far away, just far enough for them to see him, but then I can actually hear him. So he screams out, hey, guys, it's me. And they're like, oh, I think it's my grandfather. I don't know. Maybe it's Moses. I don't know. Who's walking? What's going on? But then Peter flips. They're all freaked out. Peter goes, really? You're Jesus? And then what does he say? He says, if it's really you, tell me to what? Come to you. Which I am sure the other disciples are like, shut up. That's the best, that's the only thought you had? How about stop the storm? Did anybody think about that? We got together, we voted. We're not going to do that. We're going to ask him to stop the storm. This is not one of your tricks, bro. This is not where you get to show up and show up. Like, it's a storm. Peter needs medic. I don't know. What does he need? I don't know. But the first thing he thinks is, well, I'm going to do this. What kind of guy thinks that way? A guy who's not praying for safety all the time. A guy who's always not thinking about, or a woman who's not always thinking about, oh, it's a storm, woe is me. Someone who's thinking, oh, I think I can walk on water. And he became Batman too. I don't know why. So then what happens here? So then Jesus says something. What does he say? What does he say? Out loud. Out loud, even louder, Metro, say it loud and proud. Yes, come. Yes, come. I love that. What do you think the first expression on Jesus' face was? Yeah, come on. Or was it, really? No, the first was like, yes, yes, come on. He doesn't even say it's him. Did you notice that? He doesn't tell him again. If it's me, come. He says, come on. So he comes. So what happens here, right? Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water. Could you imagine? Guys. I mean, I don't know how long guys. He's got to be dancing. So he starts going, right? He starts going. But then he starts walking towards Jesus. He's like, okay, I got this. I don't know how he's walking. Could you imagine? He's like, this is awesome. Or is he like tender? I mean, I don't know. What is he doing? And so then, but then what happens? But then when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. And then it flipped. Save me, Lord. He shouted, I'm not a fisherman. I can't swim. What? He freaks. And then Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith. Jesus said, why did you doubt me? There's so much going on here. So much going on here. A lot of things. Number one, this is fascinating. So Jesus tells him to come. He walks on water. It says there that he saw the wind and the waves. Can you see wind? No. He saw wind. You see the effects of wind, but you can't see wind. But he saw wind and he saw the waves. It's because he stopped listening. I think in storms, you stop listening to God telling you to come. When the resounding yes, come, let's do this, when that stops, you begin to see things a lot bigger than they are. You begin to see all the things that are just not going to work out, and all the things that you're terrified about, and all the things that are like causing you anxiety. You see all the darkness in your life, and you're consumed. All you see is dark. All you see is dark. Because you stop listening. You stop listening. And then he walks closer and closer and closer. And here's what's so profound. I don't know the distance, but I think the distance does matter. He was far enough, but close enough to the boat. So I'm not quite sure how far he walked. But here's what I do know. He starts walking towards Jesus. And he's getting closer, right? Not further away. Can we say that? He's getting closer to Jesus. And isn't it profound that in that moment, he's actually closer than he's ever been to Jesus, yet consumed with all the things that he's seeing, and he loses it. And sometimes you can be so close to God and not feel or sense him at all and be consumed with everything else. If you're so close to Jesus, you can see him. We know he can see him because he starts drowning and Jesus goes, no. What did Jesus do? He just grabs him. What happens is that it happens to all of us. That when storms and waves and things happen, God could be right in your face. And all you see is what? Wind, waves, I'm going to die, I'm going to drown. And then Jesus picks him up. And I love what he does. He picks him up. And I'm just going to take some liberty here because I think like it's all like lost in translation of actually what happens in that moment. But it's connected to my last point. I really believe the last point is that this voice, so he controls the waves. What was the second point? I forget. Leads us to the storm, of course. And third is, he actually believes in us. He believes in you. So could it be possible? Because we know they had a relationship. The first time when he grabs him, he says, why? Like, you have so little faith. Could it be possible that Jesus is saying, you have to believe in yourself, bro? Like, when did you stop thinking you couldn't do it? Because on the boat, you were like, I can do this. And then you got on there and you just lost faith in yourself. I'll tell you why that is so important. Because so many of us will go, no, I just need faith in Jesus. And I just need to love Jesus. I just need to accept Jesus as God. I need to believe in Jesus. And I need to like Jesus and Jesus people. And I need to do this. And God fundamentally says, no, honestly, you have to start with actually discovering who you are, accepting who you are, liking who you are, loving who you are. Because if you can't like, love, discover, accept yourself, there is no way you're accepting anyone else. There is no way you're loving anyone else. It's not happening. And so many times in the Christian faith, we just skip it. You go, no, all I need is Jesus. No, yeah, but even this, even Jesus was like, love your neighbor as yourself. You have to have this. And Jesus is looking up and going, dude, you had this. So he does two things. Number one, he says, you got to believe in yourself. And then he says, why did you doubt me? Because I believe in you. What? I don't know if you saw it, but when you said come, I was smiling. I was like, yes, come on, I believe in you. See, there's so many of us, and they're going through so much stuff right now, and I'll tell you what, if you don't hear anything this morning, God wants you to believe in you because he believes in you. And there's some of you who go, God does not talk to me. God, I don't hear from God. That's not true. It's not true. I would say he believes in you more than you will ever believe in him. He believes in you. Do you know why? It's not a self-help thing. It's not a new age scenario. You know why I know this? Because he was like, you know what? I'm going to put my spirit somewhere. I'll put it in people. Who does that? But, you know, people are weird. Anybody? Can I get an amen? People do all kinds of crazy stuff. No, I'm going to put it in people. You sure? Let's put it in a building. Monument. Nope. Sacred place. Nope. Holy of. Nope. Did that. Holy, holy. Didn't work. I'll put it in people. Why? Because I believe in them. Guys, you would hear God. You'd hear the voice on the waves. If you understood, he controls it. He might be actually the one leading me to this. I need to go through this. He believes in me. He believes in me. You know, this week, this past couple of weeks, actually, just in media, just when you hear stories of people just taking their lives, I was reminded about my dad. My dad, before he passed, the year before, he tried to end it. He tried to, he was in a very dark place. He stopped believing in himself, stopped believing in anything. And I just want you to know that if you're going through a storm and if it's like very, very real to you and invisible to everybody else, like maybe you're watching online and you're watching because honestly, you just can't even physically be around people. I love that you're here. I need you to know this. God is with you. God is speaking to you. And you do not need to be alone. I need you to know one thing. You are not alone. I know you feel it. You are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. I listen to an atheist podcast here and there, just for funsies. And the big idea there is that we are alone. And their conversations are brilliant, but I'm like, I just refuse to believe that. You are not alone. You are not alone. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you that you are a person that that actually treats us as a person. And you can do things in our life that no one else can. God, you're a God who brings us to environments, brings us to moments, and these moments are so powerful because in a moment like this, we can reach out, extend our faith, extend who we are, our soul, our mind to you. So God, I pray for that person at Metro who walked in and you're saying, hey, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You are not alone. Father, I thank you for people here at the Hope Center that God are going through some just dark storms. They seem very silent because they hide them so well. God, I know that you control the winds and the waves. They obey you. God, I know there are people watching and listening that in the midst of all that they're going through, they need to know that God, you have led them into the storm. There is a purpose, a reason to this. Unfortunately, we'll never know where you're going, but we know where you've been. And that will be enough for us. Holy Spirit, I ask you, would you do something in us, in this moment, in all our environments, as we sing together, respond together, as we invite you in, do something that only you can do. We want to lean in. We want to listen close. We want to move towards the voice on the waves. God, we love you.